Good morning. I used to have visions of what it would look like from that pulpit, what it would feel like as I stood in that box and stared out at the congregation, as I stared out at all of you. I've even had the opportunity to stand in that very pulpit and share what I believed God had put on my heart. I used to take a deep breath and take just a few steps forward, and I would enter the walls of that box until I could no longer move. I gave my first sermon from that pulpit. Over 2 years ago, I cried to you as I spoke of Isaiah. It seems serendipitous now that when given the opportunity to come full circle, I find myself unable to stand in that box before you today. Can't in good conscience enter into that box, because since being in seminary, well, I've learned a thing or two about that box we call the pulpit. Wikipedia graciously and wisely informed me that the pulpit came into function in about the 3rd century AD. And once one church had the pulpit, then soon, quickly, other churches began to conform. And before we knew it, pulpits were everywhere. And in case it hasn't clicked, this is 300 years after the death of Christ. Then we have a pulpit, a human introduction, a human invention. Now we make people go through years of study and take tests and sit before committees, all to be able to grace that box we call the pulpit. Somehow along the way, it was decided that that pulpit or any pulpit was the place where God's word could be contained. Conformity, less than 300 years after the death of Christ, had infiltrated our entire faith. And each time we step into that box without being aware of where it came from, we are conformists. I'm not sure when I realized that I hated that societally constructed box that we call the pulpit, but I do. I hate that box. I have seen what happens in that box. I have witnessed violence be preached from box after box, and I've even been the victim of it. I pray that you haven't, because it is vicious. And in total transparency, I have probably said some stupid shit myself from that box. Why does that box strip us of our humility and heart the way it does? Why does the gospel message leave us the moment we step into that box until we can step no further? Why do we lose the ability to see each other's humanness when we stand high above in that box? Why do we accept the conformity of that societally constructed box? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds so that you can judge what God's will is, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Mic drop in a single verse. That's Paul. And if we dare to read just a little bit further, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. In light of the grace I have from God, I urge each of you not to exaggerate your own importance. Each of you must judge yourself soberly by the standard of faith God has given you. in a moment of throwing exegesis out the window, you want to know what I hear in that verse? Get off the pedestal. Get out of that box, and frankly, get over yourself. I think I've heard it called humble pie, perhaps. I will be the first one to tell you that humble pie tastes like crap sometimes. But it is so good for the soul. A wise pastor once taught me that you never give a message you don't need to hear yourself. I need this message. And maybe you do too. Pastors or therapists or chaplains or professors, often it seems while we're very good at offering care to others, we're not that great at offering care to ourselves. It's easy to read scripture and think about what our members or our students or our clients need. But what about when we have needs? How can we let scripture guide us in our leadership? I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself reading scripture and I'll think, oh, so-and-so needs to read this. They need to hear this. When someone lies, we like to quote the Ten Commandments. But what about when we lie? What do we quote then? What about when we commit adultery? What do we quote then? When a member doesn't tithe that 10%, we like to read them Nehemiah. But what about when we don't tithe? What do we read then? When someone falls prey to a societal norm that has brought them far from their faith, we like to read them Romans chapter 12, verse 2. But what about when we lose sight of the gospel message and instead begin preaching the status quo? What do we read then? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Talk about a loaded scripture. It tells us to flash deuces to society, break the norm, and be weird by societal standards, but faithful by God's. I used to find this scripture confining. I used to feel like it kept me from doing a lot of things that I saw society doing, a lot of things I thought I wanted to. But then somewhere along the way, I realized that really, this scripture is freeing. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 frees us all. It says that we do not have to conform to society's will. We do not have to live in that box of labels and identities in order to experience God. We do not have to conform to society's will. The world, society, we do not have to conform. And the church? We do not have to conform to the church, especially if it is disease-ridden. And seminary? We do not have to conform to the apathy and complacency that exists in seminary. And that box? That fucking box. That box that for so long has sneered at God's people and picked who gets to live and who gets to die. That box that sucks us in and makes us believe we have power over others. That box that leaves us inflated and far from humility. That box that the Pharaohs would have loved but Jesus would have hated. That box that keeps us at arm's length from our fellow brothers and sisters. That box that says money and recruiting is more important than providing deserved care to those who need it. That box that says, give me your money and in return, I will steal your soul. That box that says our brothers and sisters of color don't have a place at that table. That box that says our brothers and sisters who are LGBT and anywhere on that spectrum don't have a place at that table because somehow both of them are less than that great white straight privilege. That box that speaks of poverty yet funds corruption and sneers at the hungry, that fucking box. Look, I know that is a harsh word. I know that word might make you uncomfortable. Rest assured, you are not alone in your discomfort. One in three men of color unfairly incarcerated in their lifetime? Well, they are uncomfortable too. The LGBT young person that commits suicide every 17 minutes? Well, they felt uncomfortable too. And the women and girls who are the victim of sexual violence every 2 minutes in this great nation? Well, they're uncomfortable, too. All because of boxes that left no room for them at the table. So yes, we have got to take a wrecking ball to that fucking box. And yes, that's a harsh word. In my humanness, I couldn't find a better word that represented what I was really trying to say here. But you know what? Ultimately, I realized for me, it's not about that word. It's about the word. The word and what it says about conformity and that box. Truth cannot be contained in that box. It offers conformity and a small place to stand while the life is literally sucked out of you. Love is found among the people, not that box. You have to be willing to step out of the box and leave your notes behind. Because you know what happens when you leave that box? You become vulnerable. It is literally terrifying. You feel tears well up, warning you that they're getting ready to escape from your body, but you have to go anyway because you know what happens when you step outside of that box? You can see the people in the pews. And perhaps, more importantly, they can see you. And all of a sudden, in a moment's notice, we're all just human. No inflation, no egos, no power dynamic. We're just human. But we'll never know that if we don't step outside of that box, if we don't leave our comfort behind. It is only in our humanness, in ours and when we see it in other people, it's only then that love can grow. But love is found among the people, not in that box. Surrounded by our fellow brothers and sisters, hope is found in community. Those who gather and rally together in times of need and in times of joy. Not in that box. Grace exists when the confines of that box can't take another life. Not another single life. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, not another single life. Discipleship exists in ministry as a verb, that thing that we go and we do and we live into each and every day. Service is found outside the walls of the box. It's found inside the ministry of presence and time. And the Spirit? The Spirit is found in relationship with one another. in the art of really knowing one another. And God, the Word as we know it, is not in that box. It's out there among the people, among us as a fellowship. I recognize that there are sometimes more views to this box than what I'm describing before you today. I'm not saying that we can never step foot inside that pulpit. For some, the chance to stand in that pulpit is the only way they know how to claim their power and their authority. That box for some people is liberation from decade upon decade of being told they don't belong and they don't have a place in that box. And for others, that box represents violence and conformity and a small place to stand while life passes right by us and moves on without us. I get it. There's no one right answer. But today is not about right and wrong. It's about awareness. Know what you're doing when you step into that box or when you step out of it. Better yet, make sure what you're stepping into isn't a box at all. Let it be the pulpit. Whether you're standing in it or not, let it be a place of grace and not exclusion. Shed the conformity of that box and find the Spirit guiding you to exist within the throes of humanity, within the people of God. Because no matter our title, we are people of God, just like our fellow brothers and sisters. Do not let that box strip us of our humility and replace it with some unattainable savior complex. May we find the place to stand for and before God, whether that place is in the pulpit or out there, in whatever ministry you're called to. But whatever you do, don't get trapped in that box. Because that box, destroy that box. In any way you can think of, destroy that box. That societally constructed box, so that what's left is God's pulpit. Take a wrecking ball to it if you have to. Reclaim inclusivity and go. Go be a minister in whatever form you are called and whatever you do. Get out of that fucking box and go serve God.